Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning, the Masters. We just got
Spieth. A shot from the fairway bunker to 10 feet.
Spieth, Brooksy, and Justin Rose just teed off. Spieth is dirt just
he's best one of the best watches on the tour. Because he gets out of scenarios that just don't make any sense. He had one on 10 yesterday where it sounded like his ball hit the tree, and then you look up, and they're like, where is it? And it lands 5 feet from the pin.
He's also very colorful. I love when they live mic Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, he's good or bad. Yelling, he's angry, always, he's happy. Yeah,
he's like, what are you doing?
All over the map, man.
We have a loaded second hour. We're going to talk. Trailblazers have a pseudo-playoff game tonight at the Moda Center. Woo-hoo! It's the battle for the 8 seed. And Dane Altman may have stepped in it a little bit. We'll get to some football dealings at some point in the show, but to kick off the second, I want to remind everybody that you can join us June 23rd as Toyota presents the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms. Foursomes are on Sunnell at 1051thefan.com. You just click on that little Fan Golf Classic logo. For more info, you can sign up. We'll have Matt's Barbecue out there, and it's presented by Toyota. We also want to give a shout out to our other presenting sponsors, Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, Battery Exchange, Maestro DeBell Tequila, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, and Window Nation. 1051thefan.com.
It's the best day of the summer. Everybody's got golf on the mind. Go buy your tickets and come hang out with us.
Let's kick off the second hour with this. The Blazers, as I just highlighted in the last hour, Kawhi Leonard having one of, if not the best, regular seasons of a 34-year-old from some advanced metric splits. They play the Clippers tonight.
They do.
Last time they played the Clippers, they dominated the dojo against the old L.A. Clippers.
The Tom Dundon win gave them the game ball in the locker room afterwards.
Yes, our Dundefeated streak came to an end.
We're no longer Dundefeated.
We're no longer Dundefeated. The Spurs ended that streak.
The Nuggets
did too. 18-point yeah,
right. blown lead blew that
what
one.
What would be a cold streak you could use with Dundon's name?
Ooh, that's a good question.
We'll have to noodle on that one.
Help us out with that.
But they played the Clippers tonight for the 8 seed. And I'm going to be very curious to see the energy and how this is going to look because we've seen these teams play. The Clippers have beaten them. They just beat the Clippers in L.A.
Yep.
I was thinking about this game yesterday. I did a pod with Richmond yesterday, and so it's probably on the Locked On Network today. And I thought about after I got off of something I didn't say. Do you remember when we used to hate this team?
The Clippers?
We used to hate the Clippers.
We did. Chris Paul, Blake Griffin. Pat Beverly.
Dude, he laughed at Dame at the free throw line in the bubble.
He did.
We hated Chris Paul. We hated Doc Rivers. We hated Austin Rivers until he got a black eye and actually balled out. And we got actually respect to you, dude.
He did. He earned a lot of respect in that series. A
lot of respect for me. We used to hate this team. Yeah. And now I feel like, sadly,
they're irrelevant.
Yeah, we just kind of don't feel anything.
I mean, there's no fear there. They're in the same spot as us. They're not a threat to anybody.
We need to hate
this
team.
They have a good player. But we'll always hate the Lakers more than we hate the Clippers.
Now, I
know. You can hate the entire city of Los Angeles, that's for sure. And it was a fun moment in the rivalry when they would go back and forth. We knocked them out of the first round of the playoffs one time. Like, there's been some good moments in back and forth. But when you have another team from the same city that we'll always hate for deep-seated reasons from many, many, many years ago, I don't know if the Clippers will ever take that mantle from the Lakers. So I hate Kawhi Leonard. I think it's ridiculous that they were allowed to cheat with his contract and the NBA still hasn't done anything about it.
Well, they're going to wait for the offseason.
Yeah, we're still investigating. Sure you are. Let's sweep that one under the rug as fast as we can. Yeah, they're going to drop the hammer. I'll believe that when I see it. Ball is Adam Silver actually going to do something.
What is dropping the hammer on the Clippers for the Kawhi investigation? $5 million fine and
it's
like got to
be more than
pick.
That, and Kawhi Leonard's no longer a Clipper. Contract is ripped up, and he goes and plays for another team. Get him out of L.A. No compensation in return.
That he would be so
That's
pissed.
Dropping the hammer.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that.
No, probably not.
How about a $47 fine for Steve Ballmer, the richest owner in the league, who just spent $4 billion building his own arena?
When you circumvent,
and we had the All-Star game there this year.
When you circumvent the salary cap by $30 million, something needs to happen.
This is the whole point about tanking. You have to take things like this seriously if you want to resolve them, and they don't take anything seriously.
Yeah, so the Clippers are going to be in town tonight playing for the 8th seed, and I'm trying to think of teams we truly have hated.
Over the years,
the Lakers.
Lakers are for sure in there.
Rockets
are in there.
Clippers, prior.
I mean, I think you got to go back to like the Jazz in the late 90s were in that mix.
When was the last time we hated the Jazz?
I mean, it's been a long time 1999? Since they've been irrelevant, but if you're talking like historically teams, because I don't hate the Clippers right now. I have no animosity in my heart towards them. They're irrelevant.
But think of our listeners that are Casey's age. Casey's, what did Casey say he was, 24?
24, yeah, if you're 24.
24 to 28.
Then you don't hate the Jazz, yeah, because you don't remember those series and Brian Grant and Karl Malone and all that.
You've probably hated, in your if you're in the 24 to 29-year-old range.
I think you hate the Warriors.
You hate the Warriors.
For sure.
You're jealous of them more than like.
Yeah.
They really,
and it was kind of a Kevin Durant ruined basketball thing for 3 years, so it's more of a Kevin Durant hatred than it was a Warrior hatred. But the Warriors are for sure in there. The Clippers, he would have been old enough to remember the Clippers series.
The Rockets. With Harden. I think that's it.
OKC probably now. Because we had that going. Yeah. The Russ and Dame thing and knocked him out and the bad shot. Yeah. And then they wanted to get back and win a championship.
Dude, that Dame-Russ, like, S-talking battle that would usually end with Dame hitting a three after a missed Westbrook three.
Yeah, it's glorious.
Oh, my God. Those are some of my favorite. We make fun of it from time to time, and I think rightfully so, of like some of our favorite moments are first-round basketball playoff moments.
Yes, it sucks that it's not later in the playoffs.
But also, I would argue rightfully so. Like, Russ missing a three.
Oh, it's a great moment.
Dame talking S with the ball, dribbling
hitting up. Hitting like a 40-footer.
Hitting a three and telling him to fly, you know, fly that S south. Yeah. That is some of my favorite playoff basketball moments in Blazers history.
No doubt about it. We haven't had a lot of them. That's the unfortunate part, and that's why those moments stand out. But it does not mean that they were not very cool, and we all hated Russell Westbrook for a long time.
I'm looking forward to it, man. I the Clippers don't have a fan base.
No, they don't exist.
So we don't.
They shouldn't exist in L.A.
Yeah, they should be moving.
Move
to
them to Seattle or Kansas City.
So you don't have to worry about like the opposing fans. If this was the Warriors, 20% of that building would be Warriors fans.
Without
tonight.
A doubt, dude, because so many people have moved up from down here.
If it was the Lakers, it'd
down
be
there.
40%. Yes. 35% Lakers fans.
Yeah, yeah. You transplants suck.
I mean, I don't blame them.
Driving up my tax dollars!
No, you know what? It's more than the transplants, because if you look at like NBA 2K statistics, I think this came out last year, so I don't know what it is for 2K26, but
yeah.
The most chosen team in your creative player by far across the country with the Lakers.
It's so. Yeah.
Well, that's, yeah. It's the Lakers. It's the Yankees. It's the Lakers. It's the Cowboys. It's yeah. It's
the sexiest team.
Yeah, that'll never go away. Unfortunately, it will never go away.
What they had like a 4-year run in like 40 years where you didn't want to pick them, even before they got Shaq or right at the start of Shaq. If you didn't pick them because of Shaq on a video game, you picked them because you actually did like watching Eddie Jones and Nick Van Exel.
Yeah, those teams are pretty fun.
Their worst years was what's the Ball brother? Not LaMelo.
No.
Oh, my God.
Lonzo. Lonzo.
Jeez.
Lonzo, Brandon Ingram.
He was going to be the next Kobe.
Yeah, yeah, that team.
It was the Ingram, Lonzo, Randall years where you're like, no thank you on that one. Every other time in all of our lives, they have actually been
relevant and good.
Relevant, kind of sexy and exciting.
Yeah.
So I don't blame anybody for picking them on a video game. That being said, no Clipper fans in attendance tonight.
No.
I've noted the attendance with the Blazers. I think Danny told me last year they were 15th in the league, which for us is like not great.
No.
This should be a sold out. Hey, man, we haven't had anything really to care about, so why not go to the Moda Center on a Friday and scream your butt off?
Yeah, it's a Friday night. That helps a ton, too.
I would expect the energy to be pretty good tonight
to
see if the Blazers can push for the 8 seed.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, look, it's a game that has something on the line, which is a thing that we have not had in Portland in a very long time, so I'm not going to poo-poo the entirety of it. I'm still hoping that they lose in the play-in and get a lottery pick, because I still think that's the best outcome for your long-term future, instead of being a sacrificial lamb in the play-in next week.
I don't like to
doesn't
be
take away from the energy and the atmosphere, which I'm sure will be great at Moda tonight. And I don't think it really matters that much whether you win or lose tonight. Like, you have to win one less game, technically. If you win tonight and you get the 8 seed, you win that game on next Tuesday, you're the 7th seed, and then you don't have to play another one. But I don't. Either way, you're going to have a chance to win the play-in, whether you're the 8 seed or the 9 seed.
Do you feel good about their chances to win?
Tonight or in the play-in?
No, tonight.
Yeah, I mean,
the play-in, if
they win
tonight,
I don't know about good. I don't know if I feel good about anything with them lately, because they've been a very weird and funky team, and we like
have
their
they?
Chances. I would say they have.
Than the Clippers?
I mean, I haven't watched the Clippers night in and night out. I'm not going to pretend that I have. I know that they got killed by the Thunder the other night, but that's also not a unique thing. Everybody gets killed by the Thunder.
We kind of killed them?
We did. We dominated that game, and then we just played in San Antonio without their two best players, and they dominated the entire game. And we made more threes than we've ever made
that's
in the
Spurs,
history.
Though. Like, that's going to be
without
the
their two best players.
I know, but
without their two best players.
They still have De'Aaron Fox.
Who's, yeah.
Okay. They've got Carter Bryant. They got Luke Kornet.
Like
that's a stacked roster.
No, it is not. I mean, it is, but no, it's not.
Devin Vassell?
Those are good players.
Devin Vassell?
You should win that game.
Harrison
and also,
Barnes?
When you make a franchise record for threes, you should probably win and not blow an 18-point lead,
sure.
And they did that in their last two games. So I think they're going to win tonight. I'm actually going to gamble on them to win tonight. This has Blazer blowout win written all over it. You're back at home.
Yeah.
Environment will
I
be
feel
good.
Like that too.
You make a lot of shots. You're not going to blow the lead at home. So I think that they'll win tonight. But do I feel good about it? There's nothing about this team that makes me feel good.
Well, also, what are we classifying as a blowout for this game? I'd say if you win by eight.
Similar
or more.
To the last one. I mean, what was the final when they were in L.A.?
Oh,
because the Clippers made a couple of runs here there. I was in Hawaii. I didn't watch
they
the game.
Cut, the closest they think they cut into that was like 7 or 8, and every time Portland
the Blazers
would
respond.
They'd pile it right back up. So they beat the Clippers 114-104.
But yeah, so it's a 10-point win. So, yeah, that's the kind of easy win that I'm looking at tonight if they pull it off.
So something you brought up there, and I'm not one to love to like harken back to other content I've done, but I literally talked about this yesterday with Richmond, and
mm-hmm.
you just brought this up organically. He asked me what I think, what I hope happens. And I'm already ready for Reddit to hate me more. Like, I probably didn't give the answer they want to hear. There are two ways to view this. They win tonight, they're the 8th seed.
Yep.
They'll have two play-in opportunities. Whether they're the 7th seed or the 8th seed, we'll have to wait and see on that one with the play-in.
Hey, you beat Phoenix next Tuesday. You're the 7th seed.
I think if they win, I think they're going to make the playoffs. Personally, I just think the way they're playing, they will. That being said, if you have a choice. And I said I lean slight miss because this is one of the deeper drafts, and I'd rather convey the Chicago pick next year because that draft, according to all the pundits, that draft sucks.
It's not as good.
Now, I always kind of poo-poo that. I think we way overestimate draft sucking or being great. Like, is it going to be Cooper Flagg, Cam Boozer, DeBonsa good? No. But are you going to find really good basketball players from 5 up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you will. It's too international. There's too much development that happens in basketball now to not.
Our best young player came from a draft that sucked. Donovan Klingon was in the worst draft of all the drafts. We got him at 7, and he's the best of our young players.
There's going to be a guy that makes first team All-NBA that we chose not to draft, and we took Zach Collins instead and Donovan Mitchell. He was not a top 5 pick. So there's good talent every year in the draft.
Thanks for that reminder.
That being said, I leaned that way,
yeah.
And Richmond said he'd rather them make the playoffs because he'd rather just be done with the Chicago convey pick thing. And I get it.
I understand
but I still think I'm a little right, even though I think I'll ultimately be wrong because they'll make the playoffs.
Well, and I think either way, you can sell it. Not making the playoffs is desirable for two different reasons. One, to your point, it's a very deep draft, and you might end up getting a valuable player. Not to mention the fact that, look, it's very slim, but we've seen a number of drafts in a row in which what has happened? A team with very slim chances has jumped up. That's the difference sometimes in the NBA, is the luck of a ping pong ball changing the trajectory of your franchise. If San Antonio doesn't have Wemby, they're a good team. They're a playoff team. They're not a title contending team.
I don't know if they're a good team.
I mean,
look
at the Western Conference, though, right? Like, without him and if the rest of the roster is the same, you're a back end of the playoff team. Like, would they be better than us? Would they be in the mix with us?
They probably tank. They probably don't have Fox.
Maybe
they didn't make that.
They wouldn't have made
that
trade. No doubt about it. But Castle, Harper's been really good. Like, they have other good young players. But they're not what they are without him. And so the Dallas is going to be in the mix in 2 years because of Cooper Flagg. That's what it takes. So give me my 1.5 or 2% chance at that happening.
Mm.
And if it doesn't happen, I either have the choice of, one, taking a player who might bring value to the roster right away, as long as you don't take an international prospect again, who can maybe come in and play some valuable minutes for you. Or what do we all think Tom Dundon's going to try and do this offseason?
Shake things up.
Yeah. Make a big move, right? Let's have a nice little splash. You know what helps with that? Hey, we got all of Milwaukee's future draft picks. Oh, and by the way, here's the 10th overall pick in this year's draft that's a deep draft. Like, when I'm thinking about ways that this can get better, I don't know if there's a move out there this summer that takes you from where you are to being an actual contender in the Western Conference. That's a very difficult step to take and a very big jump to take, and I know we'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah.
But I want to have as much ammunition as humanly possible, and that's a bullet that I want in my chamber, if you will.
Well, it's patience, right, to get to that point, and I know 4 years on going on 5 is like, that's a lot of patience, but it does take patience. We got into an argument yesterday, or an inter-office debate, I should say, not an argument about what they should do, what they can do, and I think there's a lot of context lacking. I also asked this because I was alerted to something. Are we too in the weeds when we talk and view our team? One national voice might be highlighting that we are, and I'll tell you in what way next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. How about Dana Altman kind of stepping in it yesterday? We'll get to that.
By the way, we have some, everybody pray for Robert McIntyre. He's teeing off his second round, rough opening day. We need some Robert McIntyre good vibes out there, or he might do something dangerous.
I'm not exaggerating here, so I'm watching that round. He's just blowing up. He flipped off one of the holes as he walked off. I watched him putt on 17. He blew a putt past the hole. His second putt, it comes up way short, so short that he walked up to the ball before it finished rolling. As soon as it stopped, he hit it. He got off.
He doesn't care.
And I said out loud, because I started exercising around this time, I started clapping. It's okay, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby, you got
this. It's okay,
this.
Bobby.
All right? You won the Irish Open 2 years ago. You're okay. You're going to get over this. I promise.
And the commentator goes, well, you just got to hope that you don't let this round ruin your whole season. And I was like, damn.
It's going to ruin your week. That's for damn sure. We have, by the way, Dunder performing,
yeah.
And then hold on, Frozen Dundra. That's pretty good. So those are your two leaders in the clubhouse currently, with the Blazers losing games under Tom Dundon.
All right, let me give proper credit on that one.
Yes.
Did Paul Allen get the same treatment when he took over? We're 3-0 under Paul Allen in 1987 or whatever.
I don't remember. I wasn't alive.
No, but I don't think people are seriously doing it. I think it's more of a done defeated. It's more of like a jokey little pun.
It's funny.
It was funny that they dominated their first game with him as owner.
Dude, they played like a team that was like, finally!
Yeah.
That's kind of the vibe it was.
And then they blew an 18-point lead and lost to the short-handed Spurs.
So I asked you guys out there, and I always appreciate honesty, and some people disagree with some of the takes we give on the Blazers, and that's what I love about having a team.
Yeah.
Is
I'm going to, by the way, put up a poll question. Do you want them to win the play-in and make the playoffs, lose their first-round pick, or are you rooting for them to lose
in the play-in? I kind of did this poll question 2 days ago.
Oh, did you already do that?
Kind of.
On
like,
Monday?
Are you more excited for the 8th seed or the offseason?
Oh, okay, then I won't do that.
If you want to do that, I'm okay with it. So I ask this sincerely, are we too in the weeds on our own team? Now, I think we are in both ways. I think you get the side that's every player on this roster is amazing, and this guy's going to be a star, and this guy's the ultimate role guy, and no, leave the roster. I think you get it reverse. I think you get like, we're the worst team to exist, this thing sucks, there's nothing good, I hate it. I think both things exist in our city.
They do.
And I think there's a lot of people wedged in between that sandwich.
A lot of normal people who are in the middle.
But I had somebody reach out and tell me, hey, Legler did Simmons pod. And I tend to like that pod, so I'm going to listen to a little bit of it this morning because I got alerted to it, and I'll listen to more of it. I guess he did the first 25 minutes on the Blazers yesterday.
Okay.
Which never happens on a national podcast.
Well, Legler just called the game the other night, which I'm sure helps, because I don't know how closely he was watching before then, but he just called their game against San Antonio.
And I think you can say, well, Tim Legler hasn't really watched much of the Blazers, so it's easy for this opinion. And I think you can look at it reverse and say, maybe it's a good viewpoint from a super smart dude calling national basketball games.
Yeah.
He seems to love our team. He called it his guilty pleasure watch.
Okay.
Of all the teams in the league, when you're not watching like the upper echelon, he
we're
said
the
we're
pleasure.
The guilty pleasure for him of watching. Brooksy's going to go driver off deck. I love this.
You are so far ahead of me. This is bogus.
Yeah, it's great. And so Legler's just, and he starts talking about how all these positives of Scoot. He loves Denny Avdia. He said Denny Avdia might be his favorite player he's talked to all season in the meetings. He pointed to Monty Kamar, rightfully so. I think Tamani's been one of the best stories of the season. Donovan's emergence this year. And he just is really in on the team. And I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, let alone are they going to give any kind of battle test to Oklahoma City. I tend to believe no. I think they'll have a good game or two, but yeah. I think Oklahoma City's too good. And it was just really interesting. And I had to ask myself, as I just did a podcast with a Blazer pod of like, how do you build around this team? I think that's a really tough conundrum. Like, how do you build out on this team?
What's the missing piece?
Well, if you're not going to get a Giannis, how do you build this team?
Yeah,
I find it a very interesting position.
What would you try and go after?
And so, Dirt, all I'm asking is simply on both sides of the fence, in the middle, wherever you're at,
yeah,
are we too in the weeds on our own team as a national pundit's coming on saying, there's a lot of really good things about this team, and I really love watching them play, whereas we have week to week, I hate this team. Oh, this team's actually kind of good.
Right.
Oh, this team's okay. Oh, this team sucks. Like, we're so into it.
It's drastically different than when you follow it night in and night out than when you kind of parachute in or watch games occasionally, right? And you're reacting to the moments as they happen the next morning and all of that. The only thing that I'll contend with in terms of the guilty pleasure watch is that How many teams in the NBA are immediately out of the running for that category, right? So we've talked about this at length. The bottom, however many is it, 11 teams, 10 teams in the NBA from Milwaukee on down behind Golden State are all unwatchable. So they're eliminated from the
they're not in that category.
Sneaky good watch because none of them are a sneaky good watch.
Right.
And if that's your category, the best team, like you can't say Oklahoma City's a sneaky good watch. They just won the championship. So the best teams in the sport don't qualify. So you're really talking about that sweet middle, and then you're in the groupings of the Clippers. Are they a sneaky good watch? Nah, I don't think so. Philly, right? Not Embiid's not playing.
Maxey's good. He can
He's
make
fine,
edge
right?
Good.
I think Charlotte's in this category
Charlotte
too. Like
is
Charlotte,
is
sneaky
one.
Good watch. Yeah. Like they're a fun little team. They're a little bit over 500. And so my point is by saying it's your sneaky surprise watch that you really enjoy. There's not a lot of teams to pick from that are kind of in that category of teams.
Well, but you don't have a reason if you're a Legler to really need to watch us because we're a borderline play-in team.
No.
And he's they're a guilty pleasure. They're a bowl of ice cream at 10 o'clock at night. Too late.
Right.
Too sweet. But damn it, I'm doing it. I need it.
I think the reality is where you hit on that the majority of fans are somewhere in the middle. And I think we as a show, like some people will take it one way or the other. I think we've largely been in the middle. Like there is an acknowledgement of Denny and the season that he's having, although at times it's not my favorite brand of basketball to watch, and I have no problem saying that. Mm-hmm. To Monty and his defense, what he did last year, and now kind of getting that three-point shot going. We have acknowledged how many segments have we done on Donovan Klingon in the year that he's had. Although the last week and a half hasn't gone quite as good as it was earlier in the year, mm-hmm. but he still had a very good step up in production from year one to year two. And so we've acknowledged the good parts. We've also pointed out the fact that like selling me Scoot Henderson at this point, you're just going to kind of fall on deaf ears. I hope I'm wrong on that, but I'm just kind of done with it. We have a listener who's texting in about Shaden and what can he show in the last couple of games, and I understand the logic behind it, and I'm rooting for Shaden.
Yeah, he might be back tonight.
I just I don't know how many more games, one, he's going to be able to play, how many more minutes he's going to play in those games, and if that will change any of my opinion on him and what his future is and the idea of potentially including him in a trade this offseason. And so I acknowledge that there are good things. I acknowledge that you have taken a step. You're a play-in team. You're going to finish above 500 or at least at 500 because you're going to win on Sunday. And so even if you lose tonight, you'll be 41-41 at worst.
Right.
So you've taken a step. I think the tough part that we have with it and some of the more critical stuff that we point out is the idea of going from one of the worst teams in the NBA, which they have been for the last 4 years, to becoming a play-in team is a simple jump. That's like we do this in college football a lot. We were 6-6 last year. Well, now you're 8-4. That's a much easier jump than going from 8-4 to we're competing for a conference championship. We're going 10-2 or 11-1. 6-6 to 8-4 is not that big of a jump. That's the case for Portland this year. They have gotten out of the bottom of the barrel when the rest of the NBA has raced to the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, that's definitely
that's been a part of it. Yeah. And so you've elevated a little bit, but that's not that difficult. You're just competent now. You're back to where you were prior to starting the tank. The question becomes, how do you go from where you're at to taking another step and not to being, hey, we were the 7 seed and got bounced in 6 games in the first round instead of getting swept. How do we go from being a team where we're at right now to actually in the mix? And that's the hard thing that I have squaring of what piece do you go get? Who is available? How do you get there? Like, that's a very difficult jump that they're going to try and make starting this offseason.
Yeah, if you don't get a player better than Denny and you have a difficult time finding a player that can be matched as good as Denny, that's all my position is. It's like, I find it a very, and Joe's going to have to do a lot, I think, this offseason, because he might be working for his job this offseason.
Very well,
right?
Could. Like if he keeps it, this might be it.
The pressure cooker's turned up. I don't think he's going to get fired, and so it's going to be done and looking at him going, all right, we're going to take a jump. We're going to be a 6 seed next year. Are we going to be a pretty strong 7 seed? And I know that you may not view that as a jump because they may get the 8 seed, but what if you're like far and away a 7 seed who you don't have any doubts is going to win the play, and it might be a pesky battle for a 2, right?
Yeah, I would view another jump as getting out of, like, that's the next step is out of the play-in. Can you get out of the play-in
next
year? Well,
as we noted yesterday, like, that's tough with the teams above you right now.
Exactly.
What they've got offseason-wise. And all I'm saying is, like, if you don't get a Giannis, you don't go get a fill-in-the-blank player that you know absolutely is better than Denny, it's going to be hard to say who is as good as Denny, and if it's not who's as good, how many more different pieces are you going to add to make that leap, right? Like, Rob Will might not be here. He's stayed pretty healthy considering, and he's playing an elite level. The last 2 weeks, the Blazers are second in defensive rating according to Gleaning Glass.
He's a big part of that.
Their defense has turned up quite a bit from where it's been most of the year, and so Drew's been out there. I assume he's going to be back because I don't think anybody wants to trade for the contract.
Right.
You've got Denny. You've got Donovan. We know what he can be defensively. Tamani, I don't know if he'll make all defensive teams this year. It doesn't seem like voters are giving him that nod, but we know he's capable.
He's
and
a very
is.
Good defender, whether he makes the team or
right.
not.
Right. He's a bulldog, and he's taken quite a leap offensively. It's just how you fit pieces around the puzzle. I think you can see it and say, oh, this puzzle looks like it's being built right, but
you're missing the
you're
most important
for the piece now. Now you got like, right. you know, it's a 1,000-piece puzzle, and you're at like 945, and the remaining 60 or 55 all look like the same color, and you're like, yeah. damn it, dude, this is going to take a minute. And that's going to be the difficult thing, I think, is finishing a 1,000-piece puzzle because you've made good progress. There's been some positives, no doubt, but I don't know what next year means for Scoot. Is he on the team? What is he? With Dame being back and what Dame's going to provide for the three-point shooting, which is abysmal, they need to upgrade that area. There's just – I can see in some elements how somebody like tunes into the Blazers once in a while and goes, man, especially lately.
That was a fun little game to watch. How about that?
I think they're like 11-6 in their last 17 games or whatever that is. And so, like, that's a good record. And so you say, oh, look at that team.
Legler probably followed him the week before, too, because they were he was getting ready to call the game, so he probably saw the Clipper game, and he's seeing some of the other outcomes.
Right. So I think there's some elements, no doubt, that you can point to and be positive. I think the difficult thing is finishing the puzzle, to your point, how you do it, who you do it with. Ah, there's just so much up in the air. But could take a big step tonight by beating the Clippers for 8.
Well, and I know Simmons and Lowe did one a week or two ago as the Dundon thing was either wrapping up or about to wrap up, and they both kind of concluded the same thing, that they are one of the more entertaining teams this offseason, and that I will agree with, just in terms of
you have the new speedboat.
Yeah, they're like, here they come. Like, what are they going to do? They got this draft capital. You got these roster decisions to make. You got these young, are you sticking with Scoot? Are you sticking with Shaden? Like, you got decisions to make, and when you get a new owner that's kind of like a stick of dynamite into the fire, there could be some fireworks this offseason. So I will agree completely with that. It could be a very compelling and entertaining offseason. I just think the idea of going from 9th in the West or 8th in the West to we're a top 5 seed in the West is a big, big hill to climb.
We'll give you an update if we get anything about Shaden. He was doubtful last game, might be upgraded to questionable. Maybe we see him back tonight as they got a big game against the Clippers. Let's move on from the Trailblazers. We have a lot more to get into on the radio program. It's 7:32, Dirt and Sprague. We're back with more, but first, Jordan K. Schultz. Is it K?
It's T. TM. I got two.
Ah.
You got two middle names?
It's a Native American thing, at least in my family.
What is the... Do you mind saying it?
No, not at all. Thomas and Maurice. So Maurice after my grandfather. Thomas is just like a family. My dad has Thomas.
Okay.
Okay.
So well, okay, but...
JTMS.
Jordan Krzyzewski Schultz. Let's go, baby.
I didn't know where I was going with K, to be honest. A lot of K... There are not a lot of K names out there.
When you say K, I think Coach K.
Yeah, so I don't blame you for that. Well, here's Jordan High T Schultze with a sports update. I'm going to ask you guys a fuddy-duddy question. We're kind of against it already. We went a little long there on the Blazers.
By the way, I think our guy Bob double bogeyed the first hole. He's at 10 over now. How high will it get for Bob McIntyre today? That's the new question. I'm going to follow that the rest of the show.
I don't know, but there's a cat named Riley that was plus 12 that ESPN was just like, let's
Davis
watch
Davis Riley, dude.
Davis
Riley. He's 12 over par.
When's the last time a golfer just walked off the course on like the 8th?
Just quit?
During a major event, because I know that's happened.
You'll get guys that they'll fake an injury and withdraw. They'll be like, my wrist, and just walk off the course.
Didn't Tiger do this a couple times? He was like playing. He was like plus 3, and he's like, the back. It just went out.
He needed a hit of his pills, all right? Let the guy go snort some stuff in the locker room.
You know,
he's been through a lot.
I'm going to disagree with you on something.
Oh.
I ended up watching Gary Player talk.
Yeah.
I'm pro Gary Player.
Gary Player is a...
I don't care about the PXG stuff. He was really good, and he was very... Like, just out and honest.
I mean, when you're 90, you have no filter anymore.
He talked about Tiger. He talked about racism. Like, dude, he kind of touched on all the topics.
I don't think you have a complete picture of Gary Player, but I will acknowledge that some of Gary Player is very palatable.
Well, the stuff I saw was
he
palatable.
Does a lot of shady business stuff, and
Did he get called creepy for his interview yesterday? I didn't see
He talked to a female reporter and was like, hey, you're hot. I'll give you an interview. Like, he's got that kind of stuff.
When an old,
again,
old,
he's 90.
Old guy does it, doesn't everybody go, it's funny how we do this, isn't it? If you did it, I'd be like...
Oh, you're fired. You're canceled.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
I'd honestly be like, what are you doing?
Hey, hot lady, why don't you come hang out with me?
I feel like the 90-year-old, everybody goes, aw, it's just Jerry being old.
So we all know that we'd rather be
in a weird way we excuse it.
We'd all choose her over Marty Smith, but we just can't say it out loud. I got it. Okay, got
yes,
it.
Yes, you cannot say that publicly.
Do you guys like... the sports world creating these alternate uniforms. MLB made waves yesterday with the City Connect releases.
Yes, they did.
And we did the Total Sports Bros thing of we went through it off the air. We're like, hate, hate, like, what?
Thank you, Nike.
Well, I mean,
Giants didn't get a new one this year. I still hate ours. There's purple in them, and it's just stupid. You know my stance on non-team color uniforms. They drive me nuts. If you want to have something City Edition or special, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Have it fold into your family of colors.
To defend the swoosh a little bit, I think if it was Adidas, Reebok, New Balance, Fanatic, whoever it is, I think this is happening either way. They're always going to create something.
They want to sell more jerseys.
They want to make more revenue, right?
Yeah, that's why they do it.
Baltimore's, I thought, was hideous. It's green. Yeah. It says Be More.
Ugly.
I disagree with you there just because Adidas, I think their best idea was like the sleeved jerseys in the NBA. Like, no.
You liked those?
No, I didn't. I said that was their that was their most innovative idea. No, Nike, since they A, took over MLB, and then B, took over the NBA, it was that right around the 2016, 2017 time when they started flooding all of these alternate jerseys. Like, you go back, what was Oregon's original draw? The Nike uniforms. It really, I gotta push back a little bit and say I think it's a Nike thing, and they've kind of now, along with the Fanatic sales, driven us to try to buy seven different jerseys and it's dumb.
Yeah, no, I get that. I guess my point, I misunderstood you. I was saying if another company had it, they'd try to come up with some alternate idea.
Course.
I just don't know if it would be good.
Yeah.
But, like, my team, I think my team
yours
is the
are
sweetest
awesome.
One.
The light baby blue with the lowercase a on the cap.
I think
perfect.
I'm going to buy something.
Because you know what they did? They hearkened to the throwbacks.
They did.
How about, what a novel concept.
My team's good at that, man.
The only ones that were likable, Baltimore's are terrible. Cincinnati is all red, which is just, nobody needs that much red in their life. Mm. The Brewers went with a Wisco across the front. Do people call it Wisco? I get that they're in Wisconsin, Wisco. What is that? It's a different color scheme, too. So it's a different shade of blue. The Padres look like the Giants in their City Connect jerseys. What? Texas went Tejas, but it looks like throwback.
I like Tejas.
That's not terrible.
I like that.
The top three were the Braves for the baby blues. The Pirates, all blacks, were pretty sleek.
The Buckaroo on the hat.
With the Buckaroo on the hat. And then the Royals weren't bad. The Royals were just another, it was white with the R with a crown, which is not terrible.
You didn't like the Reds one. I kind of did.
That's just too much red. It's a red hat, red pants, red jersey, red sleeves.
What's their name?
That's a lot of reds. Too much red. Nobody needs that much red in their lives.
My soccer team is the Reds. All they wear is red. That's great.
It's funny. The Red Sox, they don't really wear much red other than like an alternate jersey.
They don't.
Maybe they should do that for their city.
And their city edition was the harken back to the Boston Marathon. It was blue jerseys.
Well, the first one, the second one, much better, is the green monster color. So that, I actually own one of those.
Do you really?
Yes. Well, because Rafi Devers got traded last year.
He lived in
Boston. He did. Yes. He did.
And right when he got traded, it's a number 11 on the back. It got discounted like half off.
Ah, so there you go. Get a good deal on it.
Grab that. But really quickly, let me say what pissed me off most about all those City Connect jerseys being revealed was the fact that the Yankees weren't freaking on there. Once again,
they don't have to do it.
2026, because we're the New York Yankees.
You think Yankee
special
fans like that? Or I bet you Yankee fans wish there was just, out of curiosity, if you guys shook it up, what would that look like? Because I understand the thinking on both of these sides. You get nervous. Like, we have the PDX carpets. We, as a show, don't like it. It's the number one selling thing that people in Portland buy. I know, Schulte, you're a big PDX carpet guy, right?
Look at all my teal, yes.
Well, I couldn't tell if that was a Mariner hat
the darkness. Yes, huge, huge guy. Huge,
now, that being said, if you have a classic, as we've noted with the Steelers, the Packers, those are iconic, like, legendary.
Ironically, two teams who have the worst throwbacks in the NFL.
Right, but
because
that's
what
they
wear them for 120 years ago.
So maybe Yankee fan worries that they would also be that versus
just an all white jersey. When did they get pinstripes? Because there had to have been a day when they didn't have pinstripes, right?
Like the teens.
To 1904. Yeah. Is that what your throwback is? Because the jerseys have basically been the same forever.
I think if you do anything with the Yankees, it's like go back to the 27 uniform, the way it like just looked big and baggy and. You kind of do that.
I mean, you could do like a blue alternate. You could do a blue that says Yankees across the front. Like, you could do something creative.
There's
sometimes when you go too extreme.
Haven't they done that, or are they always doing the road gray?
I mean, they might
for
like
spring training.
Yeah, spring training jerseys probably blue with gray pants or something like white pants.
I think they were like deep blue one year for spring training.
Yeah, Or you could do a blue with white pinstripes. You know, that might not be the worst look in the world.
To answer your question.
But I do agree with your take, Schulte, that it is dumb that the rules apply for almost everybody, and then they're just allowed to do whatever they want.
I appreciate you, Durda. To answer your question, Sprague, no, I think most Yankee fans fall into that category. Like, we're special. We're different. So we're too good to have it. That's literally...
Is that how they say it? We're different.
We don't have to have facial hair.
Didn't they lift that though?
They didn't finally lift
for one. Yeah, for one player. Basically.
You're allowed to have a mustache now and a beard. Mm.
We have a lot more to get into. Let's talk about Dana Altman. Stepped in a little bit yesterday at a press conference. We'll get to that audio coming up next on 105.1. A little James Taylor for you on a Friday. Turn it up, Schulte. Let's get it going. We need a little JT in our lives. So
it's a classic. He's the GOAT.
I mean, not a great place to go right now, but good song.
I just had family go to Cabo. They said it was awesome.
Cabo's good? Okay.
I was nervous for him a couple weeks ago when the obvious cartel situation was happening.
Yeah.
They were never going to not go to that. And two places that high school, middle schoolers seemed to go for spring break was either Hawaii or Cabo.
Mm-hmm.
And so my nephew and my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, they all went down there, my niece. And they said it was awesome, and they ended up having like half their friends showed up down there.
Really? Nice. Just the whole half the class just hanging out?
Yeah.
So Cabo! Hey, look, to each their own. I'm not going anywhere near Mexico for a while. That's just maybe I'm a pansy ass and I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, I understand.
I understand the desire of it. There are other tropical places that I could go.
But has anything, nothing's happened lately?
No, it's a stupid fear that I have.
Lately?
You're going to be fine. I'm just not, that's a risk I'm not willing to take.
Well, I'm not
rolling those dice. I'll go to another island.
Up until all that stuff
Mexico's
happened.
Not an island.
You get my point. Another beach. You know what I'm trying to say.
Up until all that stuff happened, people said, hey, they're not going to freak. Can touch all those resorts, and here we go.
Well, on the uniform thing too, somebody texted in because every time the uniform stuff comes up and I bring up my thoughts, people bring up duck jokes, which rightfully so.
Hate some duck jerseys. They've
we have horrific uniforms, but somebody said like all black Oregon uniforms. I view black and football slightly different.
Okay,
because black and everybody essentially has a black uniform in football.
Right,
right, and then there's also the color scheme still involved with the jersey.
Well, they didn't always though. That's in the last
no. That's
years,
a more modern
say,
thing. Sure,
yeah.
As of now though. In the modern football world, but it's always a black and yellow or a black and green. So there's still school colors involved. When they wear all silver and there's no school colors involved, it's the worst thing in the world.
Mm.
Or when you dress like Cal and give up 70 at home, or you wear orange socks and you lose at home to Colorado, just burn them and never wear them again. So, yeah, football jerseys I've used slightly differently, mainly with black, but there's usually still a school color involved with the jersey.
Did you see... random sports blurb that I saw yesterday. Did you see the Toronto Blue Jays are upset about Shohei Ohtani?
What are they? Oh, because he's taking too long to warm up?
Yeah.
He's just allowed to do whatever he wants. He plays in the field, Brandon. We got to give him an extra 5 minutes on the mound to warm up. That's not my fault that you're playing him in the field and hitting him.
George Springer walked up to the home plate umpire and was
it's
basically
ridiculous.
Like, this is dumb, dude. Why does he get more time than any other pitchers allotted?
Yes.
The umpire came out. Major League Baseball is basically like, because he's pitching and he's hitting.
I don't care. That doesn't matter. You have a certain amount of time to warm up before an inning. I don't care if you're hitting. If you don't want him to take that long, hey, breaking news, don't designate hit him that game. Don't have him in the lineup.
No, seriously, it's not like when the
That's nothing new with you hitting the Dodgers at all.
No, I just... you're allowing somebody to get away with something that no other pitcher can get away with.
It's not like when the catcher ends an inning and then has to go hustle to get back their equipment, like, all put back on. That's not really extended, like,
no
time. They don't add 30 seconds for the guy. The timer's the same.
You come out, you catch one pitch, you throw it down to second, and the inning starts. That's it. I don't get an extra 90 seconds to catch balls and get ready to go.
So you're also hot and bothered.
I am hot and bothered by this, yeah. I'm glad they drilled him in the elbow, too. Let's take his ass out. Way to go, Toronto. Stand up for America.
Hey,
well, kind of, you know what I mean.
If MLB isn't going to do anything about it, then these players will.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see if Major League Baseball does do anything. I did have a take, and I forgot to give it yesterday. So my team played the Angels in a three-game set. They ended up winning the series. You ready for a really bad take?
Bad take. Fire it away.
I already have a bad take on him. I'm going to add another bad take to the archives here. Mike Trout overrated.
What's the reasoning for that?
1-for-9 in a series. Get out of here.
I thought he got hurt again. Is he back in the lineup?
He missed the first game. He played the last two.
1-for-9 in a three-game stretch.
I'm just like, dude, every big moment he came to the plate, there was two runners on base. We were only up a couple runs.
He couldn't do anything.
Strikeout, pop out. Every time he did it, too, I was watching this. I go,
this guy sucks.
Overrated.
The Angels have had like a new manager every year for the last four seasons.
Well, they had to get a new manager.
Well, I'm not talking. You know,
he is hitting 190 early in the year. It's not great.
Yeah,
it was funny. My team goes against against him. I had this take of like, is he really? I mean, he's doing it on a bad
team. He'll go
team.
Down from one of the bigger what-ifs in baseball of just why didn't you do what every big free agent seemingly does in baseball?
He doesn't care.
I know, and it just sucks.
I hate
it
to sucks. Say that. He doesn't care.
Seeing him play in another market or a market that cares about baseball or would have been in the postseason, it just – baseball was robbed of having one of their best players in the pinnacle of their sport for basically the entirety of his career.
Philly was ready. They've been ready for a decade to
he
give
just
you the contract.
Built a golf. Have you seen his golf course that he built?
Trout.
Yeah, because he's from. It's just like New Jersey and Philly are right. It's right on the border. He's from a little town in New Jersey, so he grew up a diehard Philly. He just built a golf course with Tiger. It looks unbelievable. Where did he build it? In his hometown, I think it's Milltown or Millville or something
like that.
That's where he built it in New Jersey.
I'll never understand it.
And he just wanted to hang out in Anaheim.
I can interview him. Fall in love with him.
Yeah.
Tell him how awesome to his face he
what
is,
the
even
hell?
Though I said he's kind of overrated in his career. And then still walk away, having heard him say why, and still go, I don't get it.
He's an idiot. Just,
what are you talking about?
You're an idiot.
The Angels already said they were going to just DH him. Then they put him back in the outfield. That's kind of what I was talking about with the multiple managers thing. It's like, you know what? Just DH. He will get hurt. Don't put him out there.
Loaded third hour of the program. Fourth hour is just 2 hours away. We're going to talk with Joe.
Yes, it is.
That's how math
works. It goes 1, 2, 3, 4 hours of the show.
Right.
Yeah.
Is Mexico an island?
No, it's not. Maybe it could
segment
be.
By us here. Joe Freeman at 9 a.m. to do a little preview, peekaboo of the Clipper-Blazer game. Will we see Shaedon Sharpe? Talk with the handsome Joe Freeman coming up. But loaded third hour. Dane Altman stepping into a little bit in Eugene yesterday. Let's talk about that. Hour number 3, Dirt and Sprague on 105.1, The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.